Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. The constant redundancy by Firestone, its effect on the people of my giving and the economy. What's your take on those trending issues, sir?
Okay, thank you. I want to thank the LMDI for coming to my giving and deriving 5 trending issues. If you look at the list, 3 of those issues constitute an indictment on current member of the legislature who want to be senator. It shows that they haven't worked to ensure that our money come to our country. They haven't done well to fund the educational and health sectors. They haven't done anything to ensure that our people are not redundant. So for me, what we need to do is to review the Firestone concession. This is why when I was Speaker of the House of Representatives, President Sirleaf submitted to me a second restated and amended version of the Firestone concession agreement. I wanted for us before legislating that second restated version so that we can have conversation along these lines. There are too many issues on the plantation. If these issues are not discussed at the time of amending these concessions, then you give Firestone the leeway to go ahead and do whatever they want to do. So we need to review the activities of Firestone. That's why you need a strong senator who will flag these issues at the level of the Senate, who will engage the executive, so that together we can engage Firestone and have a conversation and draw up a roadmap so that Firestone stays to the term and concession of the agreement and does not behave arbitrarily and then redundant our people.
Next issue, sir. The fate of Maigibi County Social Development Fund and the alleged waiver of percentage to central government vis-a-vis the general recovery of Maigibi's monies.
Well, the issue of Maigibi monies not coming speak to the fact that work is not being done at the legislature. We are not being represented well at the Senate, and that's why some of us want to go there. You talk about waiver. The waiver was dictatorial and exclusionary. You cannot be talking about participatory leadership, then you sitting somewhere and taking decision on your own to waive the people's money. There is no resolution that waive that money. I heard people talk about there was decision. This country takes a decision on the basis of resolution. I call meetings. There's no resolution. I challenge any member of the caucus right now to show us a copy of a resolution that was passed at the county sitting waiving that money.
Next issue, sir. The need for the allotment of funds for the health sector and education, particularly the C.H. Rennie Hospital, Booker Washington Institute, and the Habel College.
This is what I indicated from the beginning. You need a national leadership face at the legislature. You need someone who is well connected, who has a voice of command, and who commands authority. If you don't have that kind of person, you're going to be forgetting. When I was at the legislature serving as the chair of Ways and Means, I appropriated the initial $400,000 that led to the law being signed by President Sirleaf. Because if we didn't have that money appropriated, President Sirleaf was not going to sign the law. So as it is, you need a strong senator, a powerful senator who will speak for Maigibi, who is well connected, who has a voice of command, who will go there and ensure that those monies come to the county.
What could you say about your 90-day urgently needed deliverable?
Well, you know, sometimes some of the questions mislead people, and I hear some of my posts saying they were export because when you hear these kind of questions, you want to say something. Yeah, but it's not possible. When you become a senator, you don't have resources. You're not going to have access to resources. It's not like a governor of a state who has a budget. You don't have a budget. So when I become senator, we are going on our listening tour. We are hearing for our people what they want. I need to go back after being elected to thank my people and to reconfirm those things that they are telling me. So as I take seat, I go with a confirmed mandate.
What do you have to say concerning the referendum and propositions? Dual citizenship for natural-born Liberians, reduction in tenure of elected officials, and the change of election date.
Well, for me, I support dual citizenship. I support reduction in tenure because that's what the Liberian people want. But in terms of change of election date, we have to be a little bit careful because I was at the legislature when we had some of these conversations. The reason why people want election date change is because they want to have it easy to get to the voters. They want it during the dry season because when it is rainy season, it's difficult for them to reach to the people. So politicians want to have it easy. That's why they want election date change. That is not in the interest of the electors, it's more in the interest of politicians. So our people have to be careful. For me, I believe election day should remain so that when politicians go through the difficulties to get to the people, they will remember and they will know that they have a responsibility to go and work for the people. What do you make of the nation's coping mechanism for the issue of the influx of refugees fleeing political tensions from neighboring Guinea and Africa? Well, basically for me, as it is, I don't think we have the coping mechanism in place. But what we need to do, as is often said, when your neighbor's house is on fire, you have to be concerned. As a country, we need to be concerned. We need to exercise or play the leadership role by engaging our leaders in Africa and also in the ECOWAS region so that we come together and have a conversation and ensure that this issue is resolved so that our people will not have to leave their homes, leave their families, and cross over to us.
The issue of tackling corruption and improving the overall national economy of Liberia. What's your take on this issue, sir?
My take, during our tenure, there were several anti-graft institutions that were established. We have to strengthen those institutions if we want to fight corruption. If we don't do that, if we continue to cut their budget, we are undermining the fight against corruption. We are encouraging people to engage in corruption more and more. There is a system for us to fight corruption. We have to support and fund that system in order to fight corruption.
Quickly, what actions you think should await perpetrators of gender-based violence, especially rape?
Well, basically the law is already there. Rape is a non-bailable offense right now. We think the law should remain, but there has been a lot of concerns. This is why I agree with Reverend Collins that the judiciary, the mechanism, the adjudication processes, because once it's non-bailable, once somebody says that, a lady says I was raped straight, you're going to jail. But how do we quickly verify or examine and establish as to whether the accusation is true or not? As I said, the law is harsh. So I think we need to maintain it that way, but also help to fast track the adjudication processes.
What do you support when it comes to the issue of coming face to face with Liberia's violent war past? Restorative justice or retributive justice?
Well, I have on my platform as one of my key agenda to reconcile our country. Reconciliation and restorative justice go hand in hand. So I support restorative justice.
Thank you very much, sir.